This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This episode is brought to you by Spectrum Vibrance. Now, Spectrum Vibrance is an amazing superfood formula made by our friends at Vibrant Health. Spectrum Vibrance is a complete fruit and vegetable blend, all in one convenient serving. One serving of Spectrum Vibrance provides 4.5 servings of fruits and vegetables and a whopping 143,000 ORAC units per serving. That's amazing. I've been using Spectrum Vibrance Superfood for years now, and it's a great, quick way to add to your daily servings of fruits and vegetables. Now, you guys know I don't partner with any brands unless I'm fully confident in their quality and their mission. And Vibrant Health is another great brand that has my confidence. So check out Spectrum Vibrance today. And as my listeners, you will get 20% off if you go to vibranthealth.com/counterparts. Again, that's vibranthealth.com/counterparts. So check out Spectrum Vibrance today.
This program is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any illness. Please speak with your doctor when starting a new health program.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Wellness Talk podcast. I am George Batista, as always, your host and your wellness advocate. Wellness Talk is a show that goes over the latest in health, healing, nutrition, fitness, everything we can do to help you live a healthier and hopefully a longer life. Hope you guys had a great week and are ready for some good health information. I have a question for you. Do you think that exercise can replace or at least be as good as prescription drugs? We're going to discuss that today, and it's actually going to be our first article that we're going to talk about. It's from Mount Sinai Today. Is Can Exercise Replace Drugs? This was a study out of the BMJ. So it's an interesting question. Obviously, there's going to be many sides to the story because there's, you know, people are all different, and not everybody reacts to exercise the same way. Not everybody reacts to drugs the same way, right? But it is an interesting question. So they do a quick little study on that. So we're going to go over the results of that. And it's just a general study. So, but they went over four big diseases in terms of this study. So we'll talk about that. And then piggybacking from there, from the wellness company, exercise versus antidepressants, which is more effective for mental health issues. So now we know, obviously, mental health has become a big thing, especially coming out of the pandemic, right? A lot of people dealing with depression, a lot of people dealing with loneliness, suicide went way up. So, you know, mental health is a big issue that people are dealing with. But can exercise help that? And can exercise actually either replace and or be an adjunct to the medications that you may be taking for depression or mental health issues? So we'll talk about that as well. Then from there, on a new study, this is out of the University of Sydney, short bursts of daily activity linked to reduced cancer risk. So now we're getting into cancer. And this was an interesting study because this wasn't necessarily exercise. This was literally, they talk about short bursts of activity as far as people doing stuff in their own home. Let's say 2 or 3 minutes, picking up bags, going up the stairs, but doing something that kind of gives you a burst that makes your heart go, right? Your heart pump. and makes you maybe, you know, breathe a little harder. They actually looked at that and they wanted to see if just doing that, even if it's a couple of minutes of that in your home, is that good enough to reduce your cancer risk? So this is very interesting, and you might be surprised at the results of this, because this is really showing that you don't have to be exercising for an hour to reduce your cancer risk. You could be literally doing something as short of 2 or 3 minutes. Not that you want to just do something 2 or 3 minutes. Obviously, you do want to exercise, but I think it's very interesting, the results of this this study. So we'll go over that as well. And then from there, are your antioxidants working for you during and or after your workout? Now, I've talked about it, you know, many times on this show. You should be taking in antioxidants, especially if you're working out on a regular basis. You can do it before and or afterwards, right? This is an article by Molly Knudsen. And at the end of the day, you have to remember that exercise, especially the more exercise you do, it does create inflammation. It's exercise-induced oxidation and inflammation. So you want to do everything you can to make sure that that inflammation is in check, but also making sure that you are recovering properly. And antioxidants will help you do that. So we're going to talk about the specific antioxidants that you should be taking, the ones that are most notable to help with exercise-induced inflammation and oxidation. So we'll go over those and make, you know, you guys can look in your cabinets to see if you have these and or if you want to take these on a regular basis to help you with that. So we'll go over that. And then finally, I'm going to end on a very, very positive note today, because obviously, you know, all these crazy things going on around the world, whether it's war, whether it's, you know, this side versus that side, whether it's political stuff. I mean, there's plenty of channels out there that you're going to watch all the crazy stuff and all the crazy news cycles that are going on. But I want to end on a very positive note. So I'm going to play a quick clip. It's about a minute and a half of a gentleman, an actor, actually a pretty well-known actor that we had on our Counterpart show. You guys know that I do the Counterpart show Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do a lot of great interviews on there. We interviewed an actor. His name is Oba Babatunde. He's a very well-known actor in television. And we asked him about what's the best way, or what are the best words of encouragement that you can give to people to help them affect change, or to help them, you know, coming out of the pandemic. Just give us some words of inspirational words that you can kind of give to folks. And I just thought his speech, again, it was a minute and a half, but it was fantastic and very inspirational. I want to end with that. And I think you guys got, you know, get a lot out of that. So I'll play that at the end, just to kind of give us a feel good moment, if you will. Okay. So that's what we got on tap for today. Good information for you. As always, make sure you go to georgebatista.com to check out all the information, all the articles that are on there. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe, no matter where you're listening and or watching this show. Make sure if you want to donate to the show, you want to help us out, please do so. It's on the front of the website. You can donate whatever you can donate. That would be great. It goes right into this show and making this show bigger, because we want to grow this show all around the world. I mean, the show is around the world. We have fans in Germany. We have fans in India. We have fans all over the place that really enjoy the content. I thank you for listening in and sharing the show, but let's grow it bigger. Let's make it a movement, right? Let's do that. So whatever you can do is great, but let's keep going. All right, guys. So without further ado, let's get started with our articles for the week. So first, out of Mount Sinai today, can exercise replace drugs? This is a quick one. This was a recent study published in the BMJ. And what they did was they looked at four major illnesses. One was coronary artery disease, one was prediabetes, one was stroke, and one was heart failure. And they wanted to see how exercise compared with drugs, specifically with those four illnesses. Okay, so the study included more than 330,000 patients. And that's a lot of people. And it was a meta-analysis. Okay, so a meta-analysis, basically what they do is they take a whole bunch of studies and they kind of combine them and they kind of look at what's the common denominator in all these studies, what, you know, and see what they can extrapolate out of it. So, and it was all previously controlled trials that looked at the effects of exercise and drug therapy on survival for the illnesses in question. And basically what they found was the study, the results of the meta-analysis are fascinating. Both drugs and exercise improved survival. Now, in patients with heart disease and prediabetes, exercise had similar benefits to drug therapy. In patients with stroke, more benefits were seen with exercise than drugs. And in those with heart failure, one class of drugs, diuretics, was better than exercise. And that would make sense because diuretics are basically blood thinners, right? So exercise in the short term is actually going to, again, create inflammation.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But post-exercise, the recovery is where you're really going to get the benefit. But with these drugs, obviously these diuretics, they're going to thin your blood at that time. Therefore, their effects are going to be seen at that moment because they're thinning the blood, right? Whereas exercise, you're going to see the benefits post-exercise, post-recovery, maybe 2 or 3 days where it's really going to have its effect. But this is great information. So in this analysis, drugs and exercise were pretty much, for the most part, on par with each other, except again, on the heart failure side, whereas drugs had a benefit because of the diuretic effect. So good information. Again, that was a quick one there, but that's something to think about. And then we'll move on from there. Exercise versus antidepressants, which is more effective for mental health issues? This is from the Wellness Company. Now, this is a little more involved. This is according to a 2020 study, 1 in 10 adults and 1 in 5 adolescents in America have been clinically depressed over the past year. Okay, now this was out of 2020, but again, this was at the beginning, you know, when the pandemic had just started. But we know that after the pandemic, right, we're in 2023 now, after the pandemic, suicide rates and depression was a big deal. A lot of people lost jobs. A lot of people lost loved ones, right? A lot of people were lonely. It was, obviously it's a huge, huge issue, okay? So antidepressant prescriptions have increased by 65% over the past 15 years, according to the American Psychological Association, okay? So it's a big deal now. So the recent study, which they're going to explore in detail, went so far as to directly compare the effects of antidepressant medications versus running therapy on mental health and a sample of patients with depression and or anxiety. And this is what they found. The researchers recruited 141 people with depression and or anxiety to participate in the trial. 96 participants underwent group running therapy 2 to 3 times per week for 45 minutes, and the other 45 participants received a common antidepressant medication. Now, when they tallied their results after 16 weeks, the researchers found that remission rates, now remission is another word for cured, basically, okay? Remission rates were similar among the two groups at the study's conclusion. 45% of people in the antidepressant group and 43% in the running group no longer had a depression or anxiety disorder. So now you got 45% in the running group and the other way around, 45% in the antidepressant group and 43% in the running group no longer had anxiety or a depression disorder. That's pretty big, literally within 2% of each other. Okay. Now, while the two interventions had nearly identical effects on mental health, the study did find that significant differences in physical outcomes between the two groups. Now, this is where you get the separation between the two, right? Predictably, on every physical marker, such as weight, weight gain, weight circumference, blood pressure, heart rate, and all that, the running group had superior outcomes, okay? And again, that would make sense because the running group is also affecting the physical part of it, whereas the antidepressants are not. That's where you start to see the separation in this, okay? Now, you have to remember that when you're going for a run, right, people describe the runner's high. And it's basically when you're running for a long period of time, you're starting to get that the dopamine, right? You're starting to get the endorphins and the endocannabinoids that are actually starting to kick in, okay? So the body is basically making its own drugs, right? In a sense, really, if you think about it. So you have these endorphin-like opiates and these endocannabinoids that are acting similar to basically if you're taking in cannabis, really. That's basically that runner's high, right? So, not to say that necessarily exercise is physically addictive, but it kind of runs on those basic primordial receptors in the brain. Okay. But this is kind of what accounts for the runner's high. You get this reward, this sense of pleasure. A lot of people have that, especially after they have some kind of physical activity. I used to get that when I used to do a lot of yoga. And because yoga has the breathing, right? The breathing aspect, the really deep diaphragmatic breathing, or what's called a pranayama. I would, after a yoga session, I would basically be so at peace and so calm. My body would feel amazing and you would get this high to it. Right. And a lot of people get that. A lot of people, get that from, let's say, their strength training. Other people get it when they're running or whatever it is that they're doing. So you can kind of see that. But again, the separation happens when you're starting to get the physical activity. Why? Because the running starts to, you start to get the benefits of losing weight. You start to get the benefits of getting stronger, especially in the legs, right? You start to get the benefits of your blood pressure coming down. You start to get those type of physical benefits that the antidepressants cannot give you. So that's where you get the really, really, large separation between the two. So again, it's good information here, but at least they're kind of on par with each other. They're very close to each other as far as this, as far as these studies go. Very good information. So I would say, and obviously, again, exercise is not going to replace the antidepressant if you're on it, right? So obviously you work with your doctor on that. I don't have, that goes without saying. I don't have to tell you that. But why can't exercise be an adjunct to the, if you're on that medication, right? Let exercise be an adjunct to it, right? So go running, go doing your, and as long as your doctor says it's okay, go running, do your exercise, do it along with the medications. Because at the end of the day, the goal would be to try to, let's say bring down some of the medication. Maybe you can take less of the medication. Maybe you can talk to your doctor. Maybe your numbers are getting better. Maybe you're feeling better overall. And maybe your doctor can bring down the medication. Maybe at the end of the day, the goal would be to get off that medication in general, right? And use running as the replacement for the medication as long as your doctor's okay with doing that. Good stuff, right? That would be the ultimate goal. So just something to take a look at. Something for you guys to kind of aspire to, some goal to aspire to, but good to see that running and physical activity can be right up there with these medications for mental health. Something to think about, and your brain, I think, would be much better for it in general. All right, next. From the University of Sydney, short bursts of daily activity linked to reduced cancer risk. So this is promising. This is brand new research on this. Promising new research suggests that a total of just 4.5 minutes of vigorous activity that makes you huff and puff during daily tasks can reduce the risk of some cancers by up to 32%. Think about that for a second. Okay, this was published in JAMA Oncology and led by the University of Sydney, Australia. Now, the study used data from wearable devices to track the daily activity of over 22,000 non-exercisers. And the researchers then followed the group's clinical health records for close to 7 years to monitor for cancer. So this was a pretty good study, right? Pretty good amount of people and pretty good amount of time. Okay. Now, this is the criteria they used for the physical activity. Okay. It's called the Vigorous Intermittent Lifestyle Physical Activity, or VILPA, which sounds like somebody's name. Okay. So when you hear me say VILPA, that's basically what I'm talking about. It's the physical activity, what they measured. Okay. So when they talk about the physical activity, they talked about things that you did at home. These people did, you know, vigorous housework, okay? Carrying heavy shopping bags around the house, okay? From the grocery store, bursts of power walking, or maybe playing high energy games with their kids, running up the stairs, doing different types of housework, you know, at home, okay? That these type of activity, again, were anywhere from like 1 minute to 4.5 minutes, okay? So they say, think about VILPA as like applying the principles of high intensity interval training to your everyday life. All right. So now what did the researchers find when they studied these folks? Okay. So we'll go through the numbers here. In a study sample of 22,000 people with an average of age of 62 who didn't exercise in their leisure time, the researchers found 2,356 new cancer events over an average of a follow-up of 6.7 years. Okay, so that's how many people got cancer. A minimum of around 3.5 minutes of daily VILPA was associated with up to 18% reduction in cancer incidences. Okay, so 3.5 minutes of daily VILPA was associated with 18% reduction. Okay, now 4.5% of daily VILPA was associated with up to 32% reduction in physical activity related cancer incidences. Okay. The steepest gains in cancer risk reduction were seen in people who did small amounts of VILPA compared to those who did none. However, benefits continued with higher levels of daily VILPA, and most VILPA, 92%, occurred in bouts of up to 1 minute. So at the end of the day, what they found was that the more activity you did, the less your cancer risk. Okay. It went up to from 18%, okay, 3.5 minutes. Then it, when it went up to 4.5 minutes, they went up to 32%. So, and again, this is not exercise necessarily, right? This is just quick, short bursts of exercise. This is walking from here to there very quickly. This is picking up things. This is doing things around the house. And think about it. You got a 32% reduction in cancer rates in this type of thing. Okay. So again, what if you exercise for 10 minutes? What if you went walking for 10 minutes? What if you went jogging for 10 to 15 minutes? Okay. So, and by the way, they excluded participants that could skew the results. Okay. So people who had previous cancers or, you know, previous diagnosis within a year of enrollment, they also adjusted for age, smoking status, BMI, cardiovascular disease, sleep, diet, hereditary cancer risk. All that was taken into account in this study. So just doing things at home. Simple things at home that had your heart rate go up, burst types of training was beneficial. And they're showing now, right, because a lot of the trending stuff now in the last few years have shown that when you do high intensity interval training for a few minutes, even 5 minutes, whether it's on a bicycle, an elliptical, or when you're running or that type of thing, that is just as effective as if you were going on a long 20-minute or half-hour run. You're getting the same effects with those short intervals of high-intensity training. And this is showing that in this study. So this is great. Good stuff. Good information on this. So make sure those of you, you know, when you're work, you know, if you're a nutritionist or if you're, folks that work with people on a regular basis, talk about that. High intensity interval training. Obviously, again, they have to be in shape to do this type of stuff. So obviously, people have to start slow, work with their doctors on that type of stuff. But this is good information on it. And I think it's something to really, really think about. So keep moving, keep going. It's going to make a big difference in the risk overall. All right, next from by Molly Knudsen. This is, are your antioxidants working for you during and or after your workout? Okay. We all need to work out. We all know that it's very, very important. But this was researchers of a study published in 2023, reviewed 20 years worth of data to disentangle the role of antioxidants and oxidative stress on physical performance. So they looked at resistance training, right? We know resistance training takes, you know, creates a lot of short-term inflammation because obviously, again, you're putting a lot of stress on the muscles and you need to, you know, do some major recovery, right? You're breaking down muscle eventually to build it up and make it stronger, okay? That creates a lot of oxidative stress, okay? Again, exercise in and of itself creates stress. That is normal. It creates acute stress. But what you're looking at is the long-term effects of exercise, especially upon recovery. That's where you want to see the major results, okay? Now, how do antioxidants come into play? Because we know that antioxidants, what do? They protect your cells from exercise-induced oxidative damage. That's very important. They help to improve post-exercise recovery, especially in the muscle, and they help to reduce overall inflammation. Now, obviously, antioxidants help you just in general, when you're walking outside and you're breathing, antioxidants are going to help squash that inflammation that you're dealing with, okay? But you need more antioxidants the more active you are. So when you're running, when you are weight training, when you are doing whatever physical activity, remember, you're breathing in and out, you're huffing and puffing, right? You're creating that exercise-induced oxidative stress in your lungs and your entire body. You got to take in more antioxidants. Matter of fact, my daughter, and I'm coaching her on this now because now my daughter has a gym membership. She wanted to go to the gym, not because mom and dad told her to do. She just wanted to do that. She's really become very much into health and fitness of the last year. And this does help her sports, right? Because she plays softball in school. She plays basketball in school. So this is obviously going to help her. But she really likes the idea of working out. She says it makes her feel good, you know, and she likes the training and she's been looking at videos on training and that type of thing. So I've been coaching her a little bit as far as just the training aspect, because I used to do a lot of bodybuilding when I was younger. I know you can't tell by looking at me, but I did a lot when I was younger. And, you know, I'm kind of coaching her on what to take afterwards and making sure. And one of the things that she does take is she takes a lot of antioxidants in, takes a lot of protein in. She actually goes to a health food store that's right nearby and she gets her acai bowl with a lot of antioxidants and fruits in it. She gets a protein shake and she downs that after her workout. So she's flooding her body with the antioxidants and the protein to induce really good recovery at the end, right? That's what she's doing. 16 years old doing this, okay? So I'm hoping she continues this pattern moving forward and I'm going to help her as much as she wants and give her as many tips as I want in all those years that I did it, you know, as many tips as I can give her anyway. But I hope she really, you know, keeps going with it because it's very interesting to see a young kid do that. Because when I was 16 years old, I was very active, but I wasn't as active as she was. I became more active when I was about 19 or 20, especially in the bodybuilding space. But anyway, in any case, let's talk about the antioxidants that are most notable for exercise-induced oxidative stress. The first one is resveratrol. Resveratrol is found in grapes. It's found in red wine. Okay, it's a very potent antioxidant. And you find it in your dark fruits and stuff like that. Very potent. It's very, very good for longevity. But definitely take resveratrol. And you can find it in a supplement form as well. But either way, if you're eating a lot of grapes, you're getting good resveratrol. So check that out. Number two is quercetin. Quercetin is, again, an anti-inflammatory antioxidant. You find it in your onions, in your apples. Okay. You find it in a lot of those types of fruits and stuff like that. Very good antioxidants, a very good immune modulator, especially with mast cells, especially with keeping your immune system in check in terms of allergies. Okay. So it's a very good antihistamine when taken in high amounts, but it's very good for exercise as well. Number three, curcumin. Okay. We know curcumin is, it's the compound in the spice turmeric. It's very good anti-inflammatory, is a slight blood thinner. So keep that in mind, but you can take curcumin. You can take it in powder form. They have it. You can take it as a pill as well as a supplement. Don't take turmeric unless you just want it for the spice because it's not well absorbed. But if you want to get the curcumin, then definitely the curcumin can be well absorbed. But the curcumin has to be taken with either some kind of piperine or some kind of, a pepper type of thing, basically. Okay. Spice, what's called piperine, basically, and it helps it absorb. Okay. So just keep that in mind, okay? Number four is coenzyme Q10. You know, the body makes CoQ10. It's a 17-step process, and it makes it from the liver. It's the same pathway that makes cholesterol, but coenzyme Q10 is an antioxidant as well. It helps with making sure your heart beats regularly and keeps your heart beating strong. But it's a great thing. It's responsible. Part of is responsible, for the electron transfer chain down your, going to your heart and that type of thing. And if you're lacking CoQ10, you're heading towards heart failure, put it that way. Okay. So just keep those things in mind. CoQ10 is also great for energy. It's great for the mitochondria, keeps your energy going. It's very good, for the creation of ATP, right? Basically energy. So, but it's great antioxidant. Number five is spirulina. Now spirulina is a blue and green algae. You find it in a lot of powders out there. A lot of supplement companies make spirulina. It contains fat soluble vitamins like A, E, and K. It also contains DHA and EPA, beta carotene, and many minerals in it as well. It's also a good source of protein. So you can take that as well. But very good anti-inflammatory. You can take it in powder form, put it in your smoothies, that type of thing. Number six, vitamin E. We all know vitamin E. It's very simple. You need vitamin E. It's a good blood thinner if you get it over 400 units. But it's very good for the heart, very good antioxidant, very good anti-inflammatory. And the last is vitamin C. Now, vitamin C in particular, you guys know how I feel about vitamin C. To me, it's one of the ultimate antioxidants. Obviously I use it in my home. If somebody, I feel like somebody's getting sick, or if I feel like I'm getting sick or something like that, we have our vitamin C protocol. Everybody knows that. But vitamin C is very, very good to, again, keep those antioxidants in check and help you with muscle recovery, making sure that inflammation doesn't get out of control. Okay. Again, you can get vitamin C pretty much anywhere. Of course, the supplements that I talk about, you can get all these supplements from Wellness Resources. That is basically the supplement company I use, that they have great supplements on this. So check those out on myvitaminresource.com if you're looking for supplements, or if you have supplements of your own, check those out. But those are the basic antioxidants that you should have on hand. And I would put protein in there, whether it's plant-based protein and or whey protein. I prefer whey protein because, again, it's the most absorbable of the proteins. It gets into it gets your amino acids in there, gets into the cells, gets into the muscles, and repairs them very, very well. And, a good scoop of whey protein in the morning to get you going, it's great, especially after a bout of exercise. So check those out. As far as inflammation and, antioxidants, but anything you can do, obviously eating the antioxidants as well in your foods, combining it with the supplements is great. So good takeaways on that. Make sure you're doing that at the end of the day, and I think you will be better for it. All right, guys, finally, just a quick feel-good moment for you. This is, again, this is from a take from the Counterpart Show. Those of you who know that I do the Counterpart Show Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show that we talk about pretty much everything, really. But we talk about music, we talk about health, we talk about film, and we've had many actors and musicians and comedians on the show. We've had Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. We've had award-winning actors on the show, and just a fun show. We're pretty funny. We're silly, but we have a good time, but we're also very honest. And the show is now on Rumble. So if you want to take a look at the show, it's at counterpartshow.com. You can watch there, or you can check out our Rumble channel. Just put in Counterpart Show. But anyway, shameless plug. But anyway, we had an actor there named Oba Babatunde. And Oba Babatunde, you may know him. He's been on Broadway. He was partly responsible for the first Dreamgirls on Broadway. But he's been on, many soap operas. And he's known for playing Lieutenant Harrelson's father on the TV show SWAT, the new incarnation of SWAT that's on CBS. And just a well-known, amazing, actor and entertainer. And we asked him if he can give some inspiring words for those out there coming out of the pandemic, just to give inspiring words on what people can do to help others, to be a source of inspiration. And I just found it great what he said. So check out just this good moment, good words from a great actor.
Well, what I would say is firstly, and then I'll put a story to this. Your do is not necessarily your who. Your do is what affects change in your life, but your who is how you affect change in someone else's life. And they say if you've been able to affect change in just one person's life in your walk, your living has not been in vain. Now, allow me to share a story with you about my best friend's mother. He was my next door neighbor. Her name is Alma Smith. Maybe not known to anybody but me and her family. One day I had come home from school, and I guess I was having a difficult day at school, and I guess my head was hanging down. And Mrs. Smith took my chin in her hands, held it up, looked in my eyes, and said, "It's going to be okay because you're special." And for whatever reason, I heard her and I believed her. And I sit here today with you and your audience as a repository of that moment, defining moment in my life. And I tell you that story because each of us have the ability to be an Alma Smith in someone's life. You can look at that person and tell them, as I'm telling you and your audience right now, it's going to be okay because you're special. Believe it. Trust in it. You don't need anybody's permission to be great.
Amazing. You don't need anyone's permission. You don't need anybody's permission to be great. We all can be an Alma Smith to someone else. So, inspiring words, just to keep in the back of your mind, with all the craziness that's going on out there, all the political stuff, all the back and forth, the left and right, center, all that type of stuff. At the end of the day, let's be Alma Smith for each other. Let's help each other. Let's boost each other up. That's part of wellness, right? That's part of wellness. All us gathering together, getting together. And it's not trying to be Pollyannish about it or anything like that. This is just the truth. Okay. Believe it. Believe it. You don't need anybody's permission to be great. Help someone. Get the word out. Help your neighbor, help your friend, help your coworker. Okay. This is what we do on these shows, whether it's Counterpart Show, whether it's this show. This is my way of being Alma Smith to others, because I want to show people what I've done, and I want to help people, by what I've done, and show people what I've done. And if I can be an Alma Smith to one person, then I'm good. I'm happy about that. Then my life is not in vain, right? And at the end of the day, when I'm ready to check out, I can say I've affected someone else, right? I start with my home, and then I branch out. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Inspiring words from an inspiring man, and something we should all think about at the end of the day. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Appreciate you guys as always. God bless you all. Make sure you take care of yourselves. Make sure you take care of each other. And make sure you always control your health. Have a great week.